Welcome to the Tapped In podcast, a production of the Bellingham Tap Trail. Tapped In covers the people, news, and events in and around Bellingham's craft beer scene. My name's Aaron, and I'm your host for today's episode. First off, a little bit of news before we get into this episode. I just want to acknowledge this is our first episode. We're so excited to be bringing this podcast to you. So if you want to keep up to date with what's going on in Bellingham's craft beer scene and never miss an episode, hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening to this podcast. All right, a little bit of news to start. The new Tap Trail map hits the streets September 15th. It has a few new breweries in there as well, including the newly opened Melvin Brewing. So be sure to check out the brand new Tap Trail map and start collecting those stamps. And as always, there's great prizes in there for you. So get those maps and start collecting those stamps. Also, if you haven't checked out the website, taptrail.com, there's a great article up there at the moment about Aslin Brewing's moves to become a more sustainable brewery because they're doing a partnership with Skagit Valley Malting. Learn all about it at taptrail.com. All right, on to today's episode. And we wanted to start off with the original Bellingham brewery that's still in existence today, and that is Boundary Bay Brewing Company. Ed Bennett opened the doors to the place in 1995. They've won numerous awards for their great beers that they make on Railroad Avenue, and I had the opportunity to speak with both Ed and Janet in the beer garden at Boundary Bay.
My name's Ed Bennett. I'm the owner and founder of Boundary Bay Brewery.
Janet Leitner. I'm the general manager of Boundary Bay Brewery.
And this is coming up to 22 years, correct?
We've been open for 22 years.
All right. And how did Boundary Bay start?
Well, it was my idea to open up a brew pub in the Northwest, and it kind of goes back to my days. I went to school at UC Davis getting my master's in wine chemistry. At the time, they were the only public university that also had a malting and brewing program.
Oh.
So I started taking those classes as well. You know, a lot of the wine people, they said, oh, they're kind of fun learning about beer. And it just happened to be, this was in 86, and it just happened to be the time that craft beer was really getting going. And there was this up and start brewery up in Chico called Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. And they would come down to campus and talk about their brewery. And we'd go up there, do field trips. And so it kind of got me thinking that maybe beer is more of the way I wanted to go. So I ended up getting my master's in wine chemistry, but then I always kind of kept coming back to a beer, thinking that it's a great time to jump into the craft beer scene. And it was a way for me to get back to the Northwest. I'd spent most of my life in the Seattle area, and I wanted to get back up there. And so I said, well, maybe I'll start putting a business plan together and think about the possibilities and maybe find a location and maybe kind of keep the thing going. So I spent quite a bit of time, and it was at the time when I was coming back to Seattle, and Seattle had changed quite a bit with Microsoft kind of taking over, and there's a lot of traffic.
And so then Red Hook opened up at that time.
Red Hook, yeah. They had been opened up for quite a while, but there were, you know, there were breweries in the area. I knew Seattle was a strong opportunity, but I kind of was at a point in my life where I wanted to, you know, sort of choose a town that was smaller, kind of like Davis, California, where I was going to school, a college town, and somewhere in Western Washington. So I kind of started looking around at various locations, and I kind of kept coming back to Bellingham. I saw the potential. There was no brewery there at the time. It just had a real good feel. And part of my business plan was that I wanted to build a brewery, brew great beer, and have a great brew pub, but also be a part of the community and try to, at that point, be able to give back to the community. So, and be involved in that. It was a perfect size town to do that, I felt. And so then I kind of just started putting more and more energy into getting in Bellingham, setting up a brewery in Bellingham. And so then when this building on Railroad Avenue came available, I sort of had to jump in and go for it. So I started putting the team together, an architect and getting a brewing consultant, restaurant consultant. And so I'd never run a restaurant before. My background was in fermentation science and brewing beer and making wine. And so then I said, well, I can have a restaurant, but the restaurant obviously is huge challenge, and it's been to this day, it's still a challenge as we get bigger and bigger. So we started, we got the plans. That was in January of 94. We got the plans approved by the city in July of 94. And then it took 14 months to build. And I was general contractor, never done anything quite like that before, but it was quite a challenge and an exciting challenge to kind of put my dream together. And so then we opened in September 16th, 1995.
So was there any previous connection for you to Bellingham? Like, what drew you to this community?
I had no connection. I had driven through Bellingham and I knew that it was a nice community. But once I started focusing more and more time up here, kept coming back, I realized that it was a good fit for this brew pub and brewery for this town.
So when you opened, what was the initial response from the community? Was it something that the community really wanted at that time?
Oh, yeah. They had been wanting a brewery for a long time. What's interesting about what happened was we were the first ones to get a building permit and in July of 94. But there was one other brewery, Orchard Street Brewery, that was also contemplating opening, and they had put some work together, and so they saw us jumping in, and so then they quickly said, well, we put in the effort, we're going to jump in and get their business going. They were a much different concept brewery in a warehouse in an industrial park, and so they had the ability to put it together much quicker than we did. We have this old building that was also part of my plan, was to take an old building and rejuvenate it and be a part of downtown. And this was a great location across from the farmers market. And so it took us much longer to open. So by the time we finally opened in September, there actually were two other breweries that had already opened before us. And there was Orchard Street, and then there was also Mount Baker Brewery, which was kind of downtown, but they didn't last. They lasted a little under a year. But Orchard Street hung in there for a while. They kind of got, to be honest, they got the buzz because they were the first brewery. And here we come along. We're like the third brewery to come along. So we sort of kind of, we didn't get that initial honeymoon period like we thought we'd get. But we just kind of kept plugging along. And we had a great location and great. So we started brewing really good beers. And eventually we started getting our share of, you know, that communication around the community. So
those initial beers, like, you were strictly selling here, or did you have a plan from the beginning as well to bottle stuff and ship it out?
No, our concept was a lot different than our Orchard Street. Orchard Street went into packaging. They had a small little brew pub and great food, but their focus was on distribution and bottling, and mine was to really focus on the brew pub. So we didn't start bottling until about a year into it. And using distribution, we started out self-distributing kegs. And again, that wasn't from day one. We kind of just really wanted to make sure that the beer was right and the brew pub and the food and everything. So we kind of started focusing on that to begin with. At the time, we started self-distributing, and we still to this day, we're one of the largest self-distributors in the state of Washington. So we have distributors that help us out, like in Eastern Washington and Southwest Washington, but we also self-distribute quite a bit. And so that's all part of that business plan where we really want to kind of grow within and really have our own stamp on what we do and try to keep as much control of what we do.
I read something interesting too, that you were like the largest brew pub in terms of like amount produced, right? In North
yeah,
America.
Yeah, it's based on... It's a formula that the Brewers Association has come up with, where you have to have at least 25% of your production sold on site. And we actually have been the largest brew pub. There's other breweries that are obviously larger that have pubs, but they, since they have so much more distributed product, they don't qualify as that brew pub. So yeah, for several years we've been the largest brew pub, and I think to this day we are also the largest brew pub in the United States.
In the beginning, when you were starting your business plan, Washington had a couple other breweries going on at that point. Did you have any hesitations? Did you think it was like just going to be straightforward and easy to open a brew pub?
No, I definitely had hesitations. I was kind of like at a stage in my life where I didn't want to take on a huge amount of risk. I wanted to make sure that the business succeeded. And so try to lower that risk. And so you're constantly doing research and talking to a lot of people. I went to a lot of pubs and breweries, and it's kind of an interesting story. At that time, there were some big breweries in the Northwest. There were more in Oregon than they were in Washington, but there was Red Hook and Thomas Kemper and Burt Grant's brewery over in Yakima. So this is kind of an interesting story. So when I was going to Davis and the brewing classes were having a field trip, and Burt Grant, who was on the field trip, and we actually went down to a Budweiser plant closer to San Francisco. I kind of went aside and went to Burt Grant, and he's an interesting guy. And so then I popped in the question. I said, well, so what do you think about setting up a brewery in the Northwest? And this was probably around 1988. And so obviously there's a lot more room, but at the time he kind of, sort of hesitated and said, you know, there's a lot of competition there. And, I would think hard about setting up a brewery in the Northwest. And he actually got me thinking, and he kind of slowed my effort down for a while. But then I kind of kept doing my research and realized that there was a lot more possibilities, a lot more opportunity in the Northwest. And luckily, I moved forward on my business plan.
Yes. Because, yeah, around that time, it would have been, there was Pyramid, and there was also Deschutes.
And, oh, yes, that's right.
And McMiniman's, yeah.
And you had Bridgeport and Full Sail. And so there were some big breweries that became bigger. For sure, but there was always, and even to this day, I think there's room for small breweries to brew good beer, good consistent beer, and be a part of the brewing community for sure.
So, thirsty community.
Yes.
So let's talk about community involvement, because you guys do a lot in the community. What are some of those events that you started getting involved with in the city?
Well, the very first event that we did as far as like a fundraiser for a nonprofit was for Amnesty International. And I think that was in 1997. We did a music fundraiser in the tap room. We didn't even have the deck or the beer garden back then. So that was our first one. The formula just worked really good. You got to meet people in our community that are doing good work. And then we get to use the beer and to leverage that good work. And they would just come in. People would pay a cover. The cover would go to the nonprofit. And it just kind of set the stage, if I may, for, you know, just a great formula to raise money for the community. We were honored with the most philanthropic business in the state of Washington in 2014, I believe. And so it's, the work has not gone unnoticed, and it really is been part of the heart and soul of Boundary is how we are so connected with our nonprofits and the good work they do.
And you have your own events too, like Mud to Suds.
We partner with Whatcom Events in Ski to Sea, and the Muds to Suds race, our beer garden, we'll take our beer gardens and go there and help those people with that side of those events, because we're in the beer business and they're in the event business. So we really, it really complements each other.
What's the community's response then in return? Are you seen as inspiration for other businesses in this community for drumming up support like that?
I think we've seen in the craft beer world a lot of community outreach. Mm-hmm. It seems that craft beer just kind of has a grassroots feel to it, where you want to reach out to your community. I know others here in Bellingham have followed our lead, but across the country, you see what other craft brewers are doing, and whether you have a connection with them or not, it just seems to be at the core of craft beer is a connection with community. And it's just kind of grown, but we were up right there on the, you know, first level of it for sure.
So from both of your observations, I mean, Bellingham has seen quite a boom in recent years in terms of the number of other breweries opening. Mm-hmm. What do you think has been the driver behind that?
Well, I think one aspect of the craft beer boom is recreation. There's just nothing like having a beer after you've hiked up to Fragrance, after you've gone kayaking, after you've gone snowboarding, cycling, Galbraith Mountain. Recreation and beer just really go hand in hand. And I think like the ecotourism that's building here in Bellingham and just Bellingham as a recreational center is just a no-brainer for craft beer. So I think that the location, the geographic location, and all the opportunities for those outdoor activities is one of the big drivers. Bellingham is an awesome place to live. And not a lot of industry here. So if you can come here and create a job for yourself and create a business for yourself, good on you. Because now you get to live in Bellingham and be part of that awesome, you know, that awesome scene. So that's, I think, just the simple geography is part of it. And I think university is another piece of it. Just, you know, forward thinking. I think that's another part of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Bellingham also geographically we're, I think, perfectly situated. We're halfway between Seattle and Vancouver, so great place to live. We can we're just far enough away from Seattle that it hasn't impacted as far as people commuting. And then to the north, we have a border that sort of holds back millions of people, but we do have the ability to. A fairly short drive to go to Vancouver and Seattle. So that's great for if you live in Bellingham. And then also from Vancouver, we get a lot of influence and they come down and shop. And I think they love craft beer. And so I think that people from Canada come into the pub quite a bit. And so we get to interact with them. And so that's nice too. So I think that's another reason why Bellingham is a great place to live, but a great place to produce great beer and interact with everybody.
What has been the greatest challenge for you in establishing this brewery up to this point?
Well, when we first started out, we had about 40 employees, which included the brewery and the brew pub, the restaurant. But it was interesting. I built the brewery so I would be able to brew beer. That was kind of my passion is again, brewing beer, making wine. And so that's where I thought I was going to be spending most of my time. But I have a strong business background, and I quickly realized that you have to run it as a business and you have to focus on the business side of it. And as we grew, we were growing from day one. As we were growing, had to focus on payroll and managing people and hiring great people like Janet and just keeping everything going. And so I quickly had to, this was kind of, I didn't realize it, but I quickly had to move out of the brewery and move into more of the management side. So that was the big thing that I learned, that to survive and to be successful, I sort of had to hire people to help me in the brewing side so that we could focus the business and keep that going. And we've been growing ever since.
Do you get a chance to brew every now and again?
We have weekly brewers meetings and we sit down with all the brewing staff and brewers and we're constantly having interaction. I don't really physically brew, but I keep a close eye on it and taste the beers a lot. And we come up with new ideas for beers and I have some input there. So I definitely stay involved in the brewing side. But it's interesting that for us, it's almost like three businesses in one. We have obviously the brewery, manufacturing, brewing beer. We have the restaurant, which is retail, that sells pretty much only Boundary Bay beer. And that was kind of my concept from the beginning, that kind of from my wine background, it's like this big tasting room. And you focus on, at a winery, you focus on your own wine. Well, we're going to focus on our own beer. And you can use it as a laboratory where you get to taste and get direct feedback from the customers and things like that. So that's worked out really well. And then the third part is wholesale distribution. So you've got the manufacturing, the retail, and the wholesale going on all at once. And they're all different. They kind of have different styles as far as how they interact with each other. And so that's a challenge, but it's kind of an exciting part as far as keeping that puzzle going.
So if somebody was wanting to go down the path of opening up their own brewery as well, what would be some advice you can give them?
Well, first come up with, try to figure out what kind of a brewery you want to have. Do you want to have a production brewery that focuses pretty much only on beer? Do you want to have a brew pub or something in between? And so once you figure that out, you need, I mean, it's pretty basic, but, and it still was the same 22 years ago. You need to brew really good beer and be consistent in that product and the styles and keep it close. And I think that's what we're learning even now. You have to adapt. You have to be able to listen to what the customers want. The market is much different now. We brew much different styles of beer. When we first opened up, there was this one style that very few breweries brewed, which was IPA, India Pale Ale. Now, by far, it's the largest, and it's our flagship beer. We were one of the first breweries to really focus on IPAs.
And a number of awards for it as well.
Yes, yeah. And our Imperial IPA as well. And now, I mean, as you adapt, they always want something new. You go into an account or the customers come in and say, well, what's new? What's your seasonals? What, you know, and they, sure, we have our flagship beers and we're very consistent. We make sure that those are dialed in and we brew those consistently. But now we brew, obviously it's a hot beer, IPA. Well, we're constantly coming up with new styles. We have, sometimes on tap, we may, at the bar, we may have 2, 3, 4 IPAs on tap, and we have seasonals, quarterlies, IPAs, and so that just shows you the variety. But we're not just an IPA brewery as well. We're branching out and doing all sorts of beers, such as Belgian-style beers, sour beers. We just did a Raspberry Radlers, which was kind of a combination of a fruit beer and a kind of a tart flavor. It was a kettle sour beer. We do barrel-aged beers, and now part of that market evolving, we do much more in the packaging side too. And so we're doing bottles. We do cans now in a big way, and so we're kind of expanding. You just have to adapt to that, and so it's a much more challenging market for a brewery to come in. I'm not saying that there isn't room for more breweries, definitely not, but I mean, you'd have to compete on a very high level and figure out how you're going to interact with the marketplace.
All right, well, thank you so much, both of you.
Thanks.
Big thank you to Ed and Janet for their time. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much, guys. And if you haven't been to Boundary Bay, where have you been? You got to get yourself down to Railroad Avenue and try some of their amazing food and their great beers. Plus, you got to enjoy the beer garden while you can. The weather's not going to be all sunny for much longer, so you need to get down there and make sure you enjoy their beer garden. And that does it for episode 1. Thank you so much for listening to Tapped In. If you like this, be sure you tap that subscribe button wherever you're listening to this podcast, because we have tons of episodes lined up for you and we can't wait to bring them to you. And you'll find out about it if you're subscribed. You'll get it automatically. Don't even need to think about it. It'll just be delivered to you as soon as the episodes go live. So subscribe today. For more information about Bellingham craft beer, the latest news in the Bellingham beer scene, head to taptrail.com. If you like this episode, please share it. It goes a long way to help us get the word out about Bellingham craft beer to as many people as possible. Thank you so much for joining us here on Tapped In. This is a podcast produced by the Bellingham Tap Trail. Content director is Scott Pilton, and I'm Aaron Johnson. You're now tapped in and looking forward to having you back on the next episode.